Welcome to Ever Beyond, 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 on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. And No Borders Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond, beyond. August 11th, 2013, Ever Beyond, Wolf Spirit Radio. I am JP, your host for this evening, and welcome also to all of our listeners on Wolf Spirit Radio, all of our listeners on No Borders Radio, and however else it may be being syndicated out there, I don't know. Please let me know. You can come to the chat room at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/wolfchat. Choose yourself a name, put a wolf in it. You know, it's like, for instance, I'm Wolfman J. Nod in the direction of the old DJ Wolfman Jack. So tonight we are musically oriented. But it's a kind of subtle, technical, kind of musical kind of thing that it's like one of these little anomalies that that people have noticed happening. That there's certain kinds of music, certain individual pieces of music, for instance, that have a congenial effect on us. To use Mr. Stilling's terminology, a congenial effect makes it's good for us. It's a congenial place for us to exist in us, in terms of an environment. So let me just give. So what it is that there's a tuning. Now, what does it mean by a tuning? Ah, there he is. Let's bring you in. Is that the mysterious Mr. Fred?
Yes.
Whoa. Hi. How are you, Fred? How are you? Ladies and gentlemen.
Doing very good.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, this is Fred Cucinato. Is that right?
Yes. You said it perfectly.
Beautiful, yeah. It's these long Italian names that have gotten me. I had a guest whose name was Gianni Notto a couple of weeks ago, and it took me six shows to finally be able to pronounce it correctly. So anyway, so Fred, lovely to have you.
We have a bit of practice. That's good.
Yeah. I needed. So he talked for 11 hours. I got lots of practice saying his name. So Fred, thank you for coming on the show. It's been a while since we had a chat, and we kind of correspond more than we speak on certain Facebook groups, and we seem to be the how can I put this, the experts on this particular subject. Not the experts like self-profess, but whenever I've seen a post that you've made, you always put stuff that I've never seen before, and that's a good sign. So, I'm looking forward to examining some of the stuff that you've been researching over the last couple of years about the 432 phenomenon and what it's all about. So. Do you want to give the audience a little introduction to what we're talking about? Because I'm sure a lot of people have come across it, but some people haven't. So it's always best to kind of lay down a foundation.
Okay. Well, We're discussing 432 and the frequencies that are in harmony with that tuning. However, actually, what JP brought up, being in similar groups and having experienced people posting about frequencies, this just happened very recently, and somebody posted a link regarding how apparently John Lennon and Paul McCartney recorded in 528 hertz. So what people need to know right now is there's for, I don't know, maybe it's been about 10 years, maybe a little bit less, or maybe a little bit more, but there's a gentleman called Leonard Horowitz, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, who has been promoting some frequencies that he calls the ancient solfeggio frequencies that were used apparently in Gregorian chants and apparently are used to help heal people. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners, if they're listening, I mean, they most likely have come across the videos on YouTube, or they have friends on Facebook that have posted the videos that say, let's say 528 hertz is the love frequency, and that it helps heal DNA. And another one, I think, is 396 hertz, and that one helps, I don't know, unlock your codons, whatever that means. And, you know, 417 or whichever other one helps you open up your pine gland and this and that. So that's what we're talking about, is we're talking about these frequencies and what their properties are. And I will say this, the entire solfeggio frequency thing is a fraud. I'm sorry to be a bit of a wet blanket for some people, and I don't, you know, I there's no other way to say it for me personally, but it's a giant lie. It's nothing but a big fraud. First of all, the idea that one frequency that is audible for us, because we can only perceive, what is it, about it's like 2,000 to 20,000 kilohertz or something like that, right? Frequencies that are audible.
Yeah, we run from about 30 to about 20 kilohertz, but most people, real people, you know, when I say real, I mean adults. Anyone over the age of 20 can't hear more than about 14. Teenagers are great. You can really annoy them and nobody else can hear it. It's great. So, sorry to to bust in there. But when we're talking about these numbers, what we're talking about is the number of cycles per second. And for those of you who aren't musicians, there is an international musical standard so that everybody in all the world can play with everybody else, and everybody's in tune. And that's what we're talking, concert pitch. Anyway, Fred, if you... Sorry, we're going to take that one back.
Sure, that is... Well, that's actually really good that you brought that up. Because I tend to forget that not everybody's a musician, and not everybody has an understanding of what hurts are, for example. So it's really awesome that you brought that up. And people can do their research themselves just by, you know, looking up very quickly Wikipedia. And I'm not saying by any means that Wikipedia is the number one source for information. However, it is a good source for general information. And then you can further your own research starting from there. But for something like our current international standard, that's something you can very quickly look up on Wikipedia. Just type in A440 or just 440 H Z, or HZ, if you prefer, for Hertz. And you will get a very brief explanation of what JP was just talking about. And if you take a look at a piano right now, and you take a look at the A note that is above the middle C note, well, that note is tuned to 440 hertz. And we can safely say that most of the music that we listen to today is tuned to these to this tuning standard, which is a 440 hertz.
Right. So, Fred, I have prepared two guitars for this purpose, and I would just like to interject at this moment with exactly what we're talking about. Okay, so this note here is an A in concert pitch. That's 440 hertz. And that's a chord of A at 440 concert pitch. Okay. This is the other guitar. And this is the A at 432 hertz. Now, those are two guitars, they're different guitars, so they'll have different tones. But really what we're looking for is the effect that those notes have on your body, because your body will note the difference. You almost, I mean, unless you're incredibly musically attuned, you will not be able to tell the difference between those two sounds. In general, and we're going to get back to that as to how we can all be hoaxed, and you know this current little video that brought up this wanting to talk to you on this show, actually, Fred, is this whole thing. You know, very few people can actually tell the difference. So anyway, that's what we're talking about. That's 432 as opposed to 440 cycles a second.
That's correct, and that's as I'm sure the listeners just heard, as you mentioned, those we're only talking about an 8 hertz difference. So it is normal for people in general not to be able to hear the difference between those two notes. Of course, if you're playing just like as you did now, it may be a little bit more noticeable. But if you're playing somebody a song in 432 and then another song in 440, they're never going to know the difference. And I mean, I can speak for myself, not being able to hear that difference, because I've been playing in a reggae band for 16 years now. And I can say that I've been into Bob Marley and the Wailers for about 15 years. The band that I'm still in, we've been covering mostly Bob Marley and the Wailers tune. I'd say maybe 9 out of 10 songs that we'll cover is going to be a Bob Marley and the Wailers song. And there is one song in the entire catalog, and I'm talking, you know, from the Catch a Fire CD that was released around 1972 till the Confrontation album that was released 2 or 3 years after Bob Marley passed away. All the songs were recorded in A440, except for one song, and that's Three Little Birds. And I can honestly say, you know, we never really played the song, but we tried it out a few times. And we even, you know, the song is in the key of A, and we tried playing it in the key of G, essentially playing it one whole tone down so that it would be a little bit easier on my singer's voice. So we've attempted to play that song, and we never really did, because we could never get the right feel. And when I was trying to get the little guitar notes, the little picking notes in the song, I always felt like it wasn't right on. And I had no idea after all these years that that one song was not tuned to 440. And I don't want to make a big conspiracy about this. I will say this: I'm pretty sure that that song was still recorded in 440, and for whatever reason, they maybe just decided to pitch it down a little bit or slow the tape down, and maybe that was made by accident, and it just so happened to be tuned to 432. But that's literally that's it. You know, there's no I have no ideals that Bob Marley recorded in 432 or wanted to play in 432 or any of that. You know, that's a waste of time. It's a speculation that is useless to the cause, to the 432 cause. But I can say that, you know, for myself, just to go back to the fact that we played the song, we tried playing the song, and for many years, I never suspected that the Three Little Birds song was just tuned down a little bit compared to the rest of all the songs, not just the Exodus album. So for people not to hear the difference, that's not a big issue. But what I would really recommend is there are artists who have done some 432 music. One of them is Ananda Bosman, and another one who is on Bandcamp, Brian T. Collins. He's also on Facebook, very accessible if you want to send him a message or a friend request. He's been doing music in 432 for at least a few years, and he has a few albums on Bandcamp, and I would just strongly recommend for people to listen to the music and just see how they feel. You know, we're not talking about your favorite artist playing your favorite song and you just jam into it because you love the song so much and you love that artist so much. We're really talking about just feeling the song for what it is. And in general, you know, music in 432 seems to be warmer and not necessarily brighter, but you know, I've actually had people say brighter, and I can understand why. But you know, brightness is usually it's usually referred to when you're raising the pitch.
Yeah, when it's slightly sharper.
I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, if you turn it up a bit, you tighten the strings up a bit, make it more highly strung, you do get a sense of it being brighter and sharper. And we'll cover that in the little sample that I made. I don't know if you saw that one that I posted on that chat. We know you, Crisco. We know who you are, Crisco. Okay, you know. Oh, sorry. Actually, you can't see the chat room.
Okay. Yes. I just looked in there, and I believe I know who Crisco is.
We know who Crisco is. We know who you are. We have our remote viewers watching every move of yours. Hugs, yeah.
But
so
you were mentioning the chat in the group that the video that you had that you mentioned before from the group. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Now, you, if I understand correctly, you actually took a listen to the video and tried to see if it was actually in 528 hertz or if it was in the standard pitch of 440 hertz or 522. Did you want to bring that up a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Because, well, what happened was we saw this thing, and, you know, I've long been a how can I say that? A Lenny skeptic, a Leno skeptic, about this, this 528, solfeggio stroke 444 tuning and all this stuff. And I thought, what a crock, because 4 hertz, not, like I said, you know, we're talking from the difference of 440 to 432. That's 8 cycles. Right, and if you have two things that are running, let me just do it on the note of E, because that will show it. But I'm going to play them both at the same time. You hear this kind of wah 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 wah. Right, that's known as the heterodyne, the sum and the difference of the two notes. So if you got two notes that are 8 hertz apart, they will vibrate. You'll get that wah, 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 wah. That will happen at 8 cycles a second. And you can hear 8 cycles a second. That's like, that's about 8 cycles a second. And, and it's a subtle thing that you really can't hear the difference to. However, your body feels it, and your body feels these different tensions and things like that. So anyway, what I decided to do, somebody posted, some poor random soul, innocent random soul, didn't realize they were dipping red soaked meat into a pool full of sharks. But they said, oh, listen to this healing tone, and look, John Lennon wrote this song in this healing tone. And I was like, all right, well, I liked Lennon, you know, he's a cool guy, and I really liked him, and all this stuff. And then he plays this video of the beginning of Imagine, and then he fades in the tone of 528, and then he fades it out again and says, well, look, that proves it. Now, not many people are musically aware. I mean, you've got a fine ear, but a lot of people don't. And particularly when it comes to things being perfectly in tune. Now, I always have trouble with tunings. It's subtle. You have to be very, you know, very, that's part of being a good musician, is being always in tune. And so what I did is I reproduced what that person did. And I did it very scientifically. I have a frequency generator here that I can use. But where the hell did I put this stuff? Oh, was it on the desktop? Oh God. Oh, that's going to be fun. Where did I put it? I certainly put it on SoundCloud, so that people in that group could listen to it. What it was that I took the standard tuning of the note of C, which is, if you have a piano, it's generally tuned to that. Older pianos tend not to hold their tuning when they're highly strung, when they're tighter, so they tend to be slacker. So an older piano will tend to be slacker tuned than a newer piano. So this was possibly, you know, maybe a brand new piano or a really well tuned one, but it was a concert pitch, and I can prove it by actually playing their fabled 528 note and their fabled and the standard concert pitch, and you will hear. Now, these notes are exact, and I could show you screenshots of it, but and you can actually see it on the trace if you look at the SoundCloud thing. You'll see that these notes that I'm playing are exactly the same volume. Now, when you've got a note that is in tune, you don't hear it. It blends right in with the sound. But when you have...
You will not hear the little bubble.
That's right. That's right. So, Fred, while I'm digging that one out, now, you may not be able to hear it, but you've heard this one before, haven't you?
Actually, you know, I got to be honest with you, I didn't have much of a chance. I was kind of out of town yesterday, so...
Okay, well, no bother. No bother. I'll see if I can... what I'm looking for is where I left it. my recent documents, it might be in there. Would it be? Yeah, there it is. Yes, imagine 528 or 533, right. Okay, so... I'm going to look at this documents voice. Right, okay, that's where it is. I've got so many different folders on my computer as to where things are. So what I'm going to do is play this thing, and essentially it's a debunking of what this guy is going on about, because it's very, very clear. Now, like I say, I'm going to, musically educate you. If somebody is playing in rhythm, or if that something is in tune, it blends in. It doesn't stand out. If it stands out, it means it's slightly out. It's sharp. So, what I'm just trying to get out and drop in there. There we go. So, I'm now going to play this on the system here. I'm just pulling them across. I'm muttering a bit because I'm pulling them across between two computers, and I've just got to pick it up from this folder and drop it into imagine. Where are you? Imagine. Oh, I've lost it now. There it is. Right, imagine. Right, and so this is. It's just a 30-second clip of what I'm talking about. Okay, right, now, that was incredibly overdriven, what you heard this end, Fred. So, you may not have heard the difference so much, but if you listen at a less distorted volume, you'll hear that second one, which is the concert pitch one, blends in, and to me, that's in tune.
I was going to say that would have been my guess, actually, that the second one was the one in the standard A440 concert pitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's the essence of kind of where this springboarded out from. And, of course, it's got a lot more of a sinister overtone than just some people making claims that it's healing and it's not healing and all of this stuff. Isn't that right?
Well, I don't even think that one single frequency can necessarily heal. You know, just by listening to it through regular speakers. There is a video, if people will look up Jamie Buter. He was at a few Tesla techs, and he wound himself one of those Roden coils, and I believe the guy's name was John Fiola, who
yes.
is one of the directors. Anyways, he's one of the guys who organizes the whole Tesla Tech thing, and he had an accident where the doctor told him his skin would take over a year to heal, and with Jamie Buter playing frequencies of, I don't remember correctly, but I think it was the octaves of 256 hertz and 512 hertz, which is more or less a C note, if you will, or the 432 hertz note. So he was playing the 432 and the 256 and the 512 through the Roden coil. And I don't think just by listening to any one frequency you can heal yourself, but there's definitely something to the 432 and the 256 and 512 frequencies, and when they're played through this, I guess, geometrically harmonic coil, it will help produce some healing in one way or another. The other example I'll just name very quickly is if people know of Daniel and Erica Nunes. Daniel and Erica Nunes. They have their website is onestopenergies.com, and they don't have a rodent coil, but they have it's a similar coil in the harmonic or in the geometric way. It's harmonically, if you wish. And I believe it was Erica who fell and hurt her arm, and she took two of her coils, put them side by side, and put her arm between the two coils, and I believe they were playing 432 hertz, and I don't know what other frequencies they might have been playing, but I saw one picture that Daniel posted on Facebook. I believe it was the Cosmic 432 group or one of the other 432 groups showing that he had a frequency generator playing the frequency of 432 hertz through the coils. And I think her arm healed in maybe a week or two, if not less. That's a story for you guys to look into. Whoever is listening right now, just look into it yourself and draw your own conclusions. But again, I really don't think that you know, just one frequency, especially those solfeggio frequencies, can have a healing property just by itself. In and of itself.
I totally agree. We have a regular guest here on the show, and actually somebody I've known personally for many years. Is a healer with sound, and everybody is unique. Everybody has their own specific flavor of note. Like a shade of, it's directly like a shade of color. We have a caller on the line, and I'm just wondering who that might be. Area code 760. Who's there?
Hello.
Oh, it's Captain Crisco.
You have the best guest you could possibly have on the show, Craig Cusinato. He is phenomenal. I've been talking with him. Hello, Fred. How you doing?
Hello, Mr. Stillings. I'm doing excellent. And yourself?
Excellent. You are always spot on. I've been talking with you, what, 3-4 years now?
Maybe 2.5-3 years, I'd say. Yeah.
Me and Mr. Cusinato have been talking to each other for the longest time. He is basically the one I was talking to, and when we were discussing and realizing the frequency at which bees flap their wings and resonate a sound, and you know, we came to discover that bees don't fly, that they levitate, they produce their own gravity through their exoskeleton, and it was just amazing of what they flap wings at. Also a few things is that Mr. Cusinato also got me to express outwardly that, you know, when we teleport or for teleportation or whatever, or for movement, for just for traversing distance, that six things are required, or you know, a square of six law for traversing distance, and that set the number seven is people, and to progress forward, like, you know, with the seven chakras, eight are required, hence there are eight different forms of time travel, teleportation, and forms of healing. And to do everything right is about 12. And this just goes on and on. To do all things with even heart or, you know, destructive or whatever, 18 things are required. So, I mean, it just pronounces itself and reflects into its own physics, and that it's the right physics and the real thing. I mean, we circulate. We're a wave. Fred Cusinato is very correct that we need all sorts of different tones, and it needs to circulate. You know, you do 4-3-2, you do 5-3-3, you do 2-3-4, and you get you just circulate that. You know, it's we've had quite a bit of fun with who is that guy who came up with 5-2-8?
Dr. Horowitz.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz.
Yeah, that's he had a little bit of an idea, I guess, but he kind of trailed off and came up with that 5-2-8. What do you think of that 5-2-8, Fred?
Well, you know, as far as Leonard Horowitz is concerned, you know, I don't want to. I just want to say that I don't know the guy. And I don't want to badmouth the guy. It's just that as far as his right. explanations to what 528 hertz is, and yeah, it's all fluff to me, and it doesn't stand at all. So
no,
yeah, it's
doesn't quite hold the numbers.
So here's a question.
So yeah.
Sorry, guys.
No, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, but this is fascinating. Now, are you two aware of the Roslyn Chapel in near Edinburgh, in Scotland? Have you heard about this thing?
I'm slightly aware of it. I believe it's John Stuart Reed who might have gone in there and did some recordings.
Right, so so the story is that on the walls, on the edges of the arch, all over the church, all over the chapel, in the vaulting. Okay, so there's these cubes, these blocks of stone, and on the front face of each of the blocks of stone is a symbol. And people were foxed at first as to what that symbol was, and then eventually they got to the idea that if you take sand and put it on a steel plate, take a violin bow and go on the side of the violin bow, on the side of the plate, the sand will come to rest in a particular geometric figure according to the frequency of whatever it was made. And they took these symbols that were on the side and decoded them in terms of the frequency that they were, and they managed to decode a piece of music that was hidden in the stones. Is that familiar at all?
Yes, I'm actually posting a link right now to the chat room. I believe it was Richard Merrick who I think he at least wrote the article. I don't know if he had anything to do with the research itself, but it was actually, yep, it was deciphered by Thomas Mitchell and his son Stuart Mitchell. That was done, I think, around 2006, 2007.
Excellent.
Yeah, and it explains that there's a total of 215 musical cubes in the pillars and the arches of the Roslyn Chapel. They were found to match 13 unique geometrical sound
wow.
patterns. So that's how they essentially deciphered this. And, you know, that just goes to show that we're going back some time now. This was, when was this built?
It was built before Columbus. That was the big thing, because it was supposed to be built before Columbus, but there was depictions of sweet corn maize on carved into the stone, like you know, has happened, you know, because that's not supposed to happen for another you know few dozen years or something. Anyway, many mysteries about the Roslyn Chapel, you know.
Very quickly, we're looking at around the 1400s.
That's right.
This is it's very, very interesting how geometry and music and all that stuff just gets interrelated.
Well, let's go with that.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with Lee Leeds. He's a gentleman who has many YouTube videos. He has written a couple of books called Pi and the English Alphabet. I think he's got Volume 1 and Volume 2 that are out for sale. And what he does is he deciphers everything using the English Gematria system. And one of the videos that is very interesting is the one where he talks about Moses. So if you go to YouTube and type in applying the English alphabet, Moses, or just Marty Leeds and Moses, Leeds is L-E-E-D-S, just take a look at that video, because he goes to show the he goes into 432. And one thing that I learned from him is when you take the golden angle, which is if you look at how a flower is made, the golden angle is English is my third language, so it's philotaxis, I believe it is. But the golden angle is 137.5 degrees, and if you happen to multiply that by pi, by 3.14, you get 431.95 something or other. So the relationship between geometry and numbers and music, it's really there for us to see. I don't think it's a coincidence that that all these numbers keep coming back.
Absolutely not. So I'd like to bring in Mr. Really, let's get even more esoteric than that, Stillings. Will, is there any...
I can outdo that.
Oh, no, I'm sure. Is there an element that vibrates at 432 hertz or 216 or 108?
Oh, he nailed it. I couldn't say anything more than what Fred just said. He nailed it. Phi ratio, everything is, it's all, 137, and, pi is just, 432. He just said it all. That's phenomenal. You have 161, kilometers or 1.61. How do plants grow? They grow on a wave. They are a wave function. The most efficient way to stack seeds, is, golden ratio or, phi ratio. You know, 616 seeds in a persimmon.
616 what?
Phenomenal.
Leaves.
And there also is a relation with the Fibonacci sequence.
Yes.
If you look at, I believe the 12th number or the 9th number in the sequence is 144, and that's a number that comes back a lot again in sacred geometry. In the 432 hertz scale, the 144 hertz is a D note. And I believe Edward Liebfeldman, who worked a lot with frequencies. I think 144 seems to come back a lot in his work.
Yeah, Will. What,
12 to 12.
What elements are related to this? Because when I worked this out, I thought... let me just explain where I came from with this, because I thought, right, if I take the frequency of carbon at 12 and I extrapolate from that, G becomes whatever it is, and A becomes 432. So if you base a scale on the carbon atom, the 12, the frequency of 12, 12 becomes G, and then it becomes 432 as
selenium.
A
selenium.
Selenium.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the heart chakra, selenium, actually would play a part in this. And this is, I'd have to think on this, but so the element selenium is utilized to carry the signal from the brain to the heart, and would inadvertently be affected to where someone could the weapon that they used to interrupt the militarized version. Actually, this is completely mind-blowing. I'm struggling to process this. The elements that come into play also hit on the geometrically stable elements, where bismuth, the symbol for bismuth, the square that turns inward, or the crystalline structure for bismuth, is found in the Egyptian tombs and on the pyramids, and they were describing getting oscillating gravity and making the pyramids conducive, being that our thoughts and mind operate on 7 hertz, 7.4 hertz, or on a gravity wave, and which is why people tend to conglomerate around active volcanoes, because the energies there are conducive for carrying a wave and making it more pleasant and more congenial emotionally and mentally and whatnot. Good God, I just my head is swimming right now.
You think what?
For three years, I've been considering Fred Cousinotta the authority on all the harmonic relations, and I call him up regularly for advice and to mull over things. You look at the reference. If everybody goes to that site that you put up, the Frozen Music, it's just phenomenal. I'm looking over the picture, but you look at the biblical number that's in the Bible, 666. That was the disinfo of the day, which it is a reference to a bad number, but it's really a traversing of distance law, and it was to demonize or to disinfo interest in round vehicles in traversing of distance. It's a traversing of distance law. It's 6 times 6 times 6 equals 666. Equals 108 plus 3 electrons, half of 6 equals 111, and 216 divided by 2, 108, and 3 half of 6, 3 electrons, 111 times 6, 666. It's a traversing the distance law. I've gotten so used to saying that. But here's what it says. But the chapel designers suggest a more balanced interpretation of the symbol. The 215 musical cubes in the chapel total 1 less than 216. Yes, because the chapel is one. You understand? Is it traversing the distance? I've been saying this to Mr. Cousinotto and online forever, and Cousinotto just took it so many steps further and just pronounced it basically to everyone for the last couple of years. It's just phenomenal.
And I have to add that when Chrononaut says forever, he really means it.
Yeah, plus three.
So 206. Yeah, you. Here's the thing. I had this. I have it somewhere. It's a cube made of little metal magnetic spheres. And it's a 6x6x6 cube, and it's 216. And that's a model of that atom that you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Interesting.
Basically.
So, and...
Yeah, there's a 3-degree difference between the top of the angle and the Golden Pyramid and the highest 33rd-degree Freemasonry representing... It's actually, they idealized 32 protons, 32 electrons, but that's what it also just happens to fall into, and that gets into your geometrically stable elements when you have one extra proton in the next shell.
What's element, what is that 32 then? What element is that?
Well, a geometrically stable element would be bismuth, element 83. Bob Lazar's element 115, mass 299, 184 neutrons, or my element 147, mass 405. That is a geometrically stable element. So is element 179. They're all separated by 32 protons. So you're just moving up one more step up in the proton energy position level. And that can also very much plays a part in a lot of different style round vehicles. Is you have to harmonically activate them. You activate them with a tone, and that harmonically resonates helps to resonate the effect. And so it's not unreasonable to say that the pyramid or during the Egyptian piece, you had people inside the pyramids agitating scarab beetles. The scarab beetles were sacred because they fly just like bees. They don't fly, they levitate. They produce a gravity and they fly. They in science, they don't have enough wingspan to lift themselves up off the ground. Neither do bees. Bees cannot fly. They don't. They levitate like a round vehicle. So in the pyramids, you had people with some water. They would be agitating the scarab beetles, and they would be resonating a gravity. So that's why there are so many scarab beetles found in the pyramids. See?
So, the scarab beetle, does that vibrate at 108 or 110? I mean, what I'm looking for are excuses for 432. Now, I remember they were talking about the sarcophagus having a resonance of 108, or around 110. And I think they were disguising that it was 108. Because if it's 108, all the Buddhists would say, oh, yeah, it's 108. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, the exoskeleton is really random, which very much facilitates the idea that superconductivity is not really in the alignment of atoms. It's in the incoherent lineup. Magnetism is all alignment. You align anything, any element, and it'll become magnetic. All elements, all atoms are magnetic, or have a magnetic property to it. Aluminum can become magnetic, blah, blah, blah. It's all how you align the atoms. This herbal and the bee have are kind of a random lineup, so it's pretty forgiving. 1 to 5 hertz, it's pretty it adjusts. And but that is definitely where you want to reside in as far as the harmonic tone. Sorry, Fred. Hi.
Fred's barking.
Sorry.
On you go, Fred.
Fred Cusinato, you need a PayPal. What's your PayPal address?
To be honest, I'm not 100% sure which one of my emails I've got set up for my PayPal right now.
Hey, Fred, have you got a website with a donate button on it yet?
No, I do not.
Yeah.
However, I am setting up fredcusinato.blogspot.com, I believe it is. I will be setting up a band camp very, very soon. I'm getting some pictures in and getting a bio set up and everything, so it should be up at some point this week or the next one. And at that point, if anybody's going to want to donate anything, you can actually purchase some of my songs that I'll be putting online, and I'm also printing an album that I wrote very soon, so that will be available for purchase as well.
Okay, Fred, I'll make a page for you on my website on everbeyond.info under guest pages, and I'll have some links to your album and stuff. If you just throw me stuff on Skype, I'll publish that for you. That sounds good. And
that's awesome. Thank you.
No problem. Will, do you have a website with a PayPal donate button on yet?
My site is Fred Cusinato's website.
Do you want a page?
That's the best info you're going to do. Yeah. If people want the real physics and the real info, that's the page.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. You may have whistleblowers, you may have information leaking. This is the information that we really need, is the true physics. And it's been something that I've been going on about for years. We see things flitting around in the sky, and they obey a physics. They're not magic, they obey a physics. So just what is the physics, and what haven't they been telling us? And this is why I love having you, Will, and you, Fred, on my show, because we can expose this physics to the people so that people understand it and then can apply it. Because the other physics, the one that we're schooled with, puts restrictions on us and stops us from being able to create the machines of the future and the technology of the future.
I would agree with that. Yeah, there's definite, if you look into John Searle, there's definite harmonics involved in his SCG, and just looking at his laws of squares, there's harmonics right there. So it has to be taken for granted.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's just inherent to the physics. It's conducive to people out there to debate any physics. It utilizes the physics. I mean, everything's harmonic. All matter is a wave. All atoms are an over-unity gravity generator device. They're a generator motor. All atoms are. And they're continuously moving in the form of a wave. They are a wave function.
So, we're coming up to the top of the hour, and for some reason, it just came to me just before the show started, Fred, how can I, could I ask for a better track than Move On Up by Curtis Mayfield?
Oh, definitely. That'd be awesome.
So, join us in a few minutes' time. We'll be back. You're listening to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Ah, and welcome back to Ever Beyond. It's the there was a very long long blank space at the end of that track, so we were waiting for the track to finish, and I just cut in because it had another 7 seconds to go. Anyway, welcome back to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, Noel Builders Radio, and everbeyond.info. My guest tonight is Fred Cusinato, and we are talking about 432. 432, it's a frequency. It's a frequency that is natural to the human body. We were just discussing on a chemical, mathematical, geometric level how 432 works as a perfection in its geometry. So we're looking at that, and there's been a question in the chat room who asked it? Oh, it's Swami, of course, from Holland. He was asking earlier about how this connects with mind control, because I was saying in my rubric for the show that it connects with the Nazis and mind control, and A, it's true, and it's another aspect of the big control system. So, Fred, tell us what you know about Goebbels.
I don't know very much about Goebbels. The research that I've done on Goebbels was not very profound, but the little bit that I've looked into it, it doesn't seem to me like he was like the guy who was pushing for 440, because it's when you're reading some of these blog posts, there's some people that really seem to be concentrating on how big of a conspiracy theory it is, because Goebbels the Nazi was a big proponent of 440 music. There may be that, like, I'm not denying it. Like, there may be a lot of truth to this man wanting to instate this particular tuning system, but if you look into the 1920s and 30s, I believe in the U.S. they were starting to build instruments in 440, and they were trying to use that as an informal standard. Because the people have to realize as well, there was never an international tuning standard until the 1950s, when an international standard organization or standardization organization decided to instate this being 440 hertz as our tuning standard. And as a matter of fact, that was also reinstated in 1975. But before the 50s, there was never an international standard. Maybe if you look back in the 1800s, the Austrian government recommended the tuning of 435 hertz, and apparently many countries and organizations throughout Europe were using that. But there was never an actual international tuning standard as there is today. I'm sorry, I kind of forgot where I was going with that.
And tuning standards. Goebbels, yeah. Or Goebbels. Goebbels was instrumental, if you like, in bringing this through. Now, I believe it's through sort of sending the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra all around the world on their tour, forcing all the musicians to play with them, to play in 440, to kind of bring in the new standard. Things are a little tighter around here, you know. And it has produced, it seems, a sense of anxiety, albeit very, very, very subtle and subconscious. There is a qualitative difference between listening to music in 440 and 432. There's also the case of Indian music.
Well, that is true, and That is something I haven't really looked into. But I know that they're not necessarily using, or they definitely weren't using any of these standards that we people in the Western side of the world are using today. But if we can just go back, actually, because we were talking about the mind control thing, as far as what Swami was asking, there's definitely something to music and mind control. As far as Goebbels is concerned, maybe he was a small piece of influence to go towards 440, and maybe he knew something, but is there that much evidence out there? I haven't seen it, so I don't know if there is. But there's definitely something to music the way it is today and the way it progressed. Now, Swami posted a link in regards to the Laurel, inside the Laurel Canyon.
Inside the Laurel Canyon, yeah.
Yeah, so essentially how the birth of the hippie generation happened in Laurel Canyon in California in the mid to late 60s, and the relation to all these musicians from Jim Morrison, whose dad was an admiral in the Navy, to Frank Zappa, whose dad was also in the Army. So yeah,
Chemical weapons expert.
Pardon me, I didn't catch that.
He was a chemical weapons expert, Zappa's dad.
Ooh. That's correct, yeah. Yeah, I see you read the autobiography as well.
Yeah, well, I've read various things about this. I also read, like, Frank Zappa's own words about his life, and he said that his dad used to bring home mercury for the kids to play with. And Zappa remembers that his bedroom used to be covered in these little glittery silver globules. And I believe that there is an actual connection between heavy metal poisoning and heavy metal music.
It's funny that you bring up heavy metal music. I gotta admit, like, when I was in my later teens, you know, I did enjoy a bit of heavy metal music, a bit of Slayer, Metallica, a little bit of the punk guys like Pennywise, NoFX. Those are the ones I can think of right now. But heavy metal music has been tested, apparently, by Dr. Masaru Emoto. And what he does is he flash freezes drops of water to some of his research, from my understanding, is he was flash freezing it to certain sounds, and he played some heavy metal music, and the water was coming out all I don't know how to put it. It was not properly shaped. It was not formed. It was deformed, I guess is the best way to put it.
Or malformed.
Or malformed, sure. And when he was playing some Bach, or I think he might have tried John Lennon's Imagine, those were coming out as nice little, they were like snowflakes, like just crystallized snowflakes, if you wish. And that had to be looked through a microscope to see that there was geometry there, where the geometry lacked big time, where there was actually no geometry at all to the heavy metal music.
So it's there's a chaos to it, and it results on water, which is what we are, is deformation, malformation. And that kind of reflects what these metals do to our bodies if we ingest them, you know, lead, mercury, aluminum, as you guys say. Do you say, hey, in Canada, what do you say, aluminum or aluminium?
I think we say aluminum.
That's good, but you still see Doctor Who. I think that's still cool. That's so cool. So yeah, hey, there's a is Brian a friend of yours? Excellent. Hello, welcome to the chat room, Brian. It's really interesting what you're doing, what you're putting in the chat room. If you'd like to call in and join this conversation, because you, I can see you've got some nuggets to share, and I'd love to help things. So yeah, here's the thing. Phase shifted frequencies. So Modis. So we've got quite a few creative musicians and sound engineers, techs, and dogs on the show tonight. Does your dog require a little bit of attention?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just closed that window. It's the neighbor's dog. There's not much I can do about that one. I do apologize.
A super soaker. Yeah.
Hey, if I can just say,
go ahead.
You just mentioned Brian here. He says he's done extensive research, cymatics research. He has worked with John Stuart Reed, and now I know I'm getting the name right. John Stuart Reed has a thing called a cymoscope, which he has. He's taken into the pyramids and looked at different types of chants and so on and so forth. And I think he has essentially, Brian Collins has got him to make a picture of just the 432 hertz tone through the cymoscope. And you have this the bowed edged triangle that has these little, I don't know, these little spirals going all around it. And if, you know, people I'm sure are familiar with the Flower of Life, those 64 circles all put into a circle. If you look at the Trivesica Pisces, I believe they call it, or just a Trivesica, the shape of that bowed-edged triangle that you see there, that's very similar to the shape of the 432 hertz tone. And you know, if Brian's going to call in, hopefully he can correct me if I was wrong. But it's pretty much that. And you know, it just goes to show again that there's something to the numbers, the geometry, and the frequencies, and they pretty much all go together. And you will get good geometry with 432 hertz as opposed to 440 hertz or 444, 528, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, if people want to see what we're talking about, if they go to my YouTube channel, which is Studio 9 Jam, number 9, Studio number 9, J-A-M, you'll see back in January, I had Fred on with Shari Edwards, and we were having a very interesting conversation. But I used that chymoglyph, that frequency shape sound of 432, exactly as you were describing it, with three, like a triangle with curved edges. Beautiful little object. Actually, it's like a Wenckel engine. a Wankel. Have you ever seen inside a Wankel engine?
I can't say that I have.
It's a rotary motor, and it's got exactly that shaped piston, which spins in a kind of kidney bean shaped cylinder, and it's a continuous process rotary motor. You have them on there.
Very interesting, I gotta say.
Yeah, in Britain we always used to call it the Wankel engine, you know, because you have to smile. But the principle is that it doesn't have pistons that go up and down. It has this eccentrically shaped figure that is one of those that spins around eccentrically.
That is really interesting.
And you know, I gotta say this, you know, every time that you see that picture, the credit should go to Brian and John Stewart Reed. You know, if it wasn't for Brian asking John Stewart to actually do that, we wouldn't have it today, or, you know, I would have had to do it, or somebody else would have done it, but essentially it was Brian who found out about the Sinuscope and got to get the 432 hertz tone plate to it, so he's the one who deserves credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Brian T. Conant. Oh, that excellent. So, where is he? No. Yeah, what is it? Is it possible to call in Skype? Yes, you can. You can call in wolfspirit.switchboard, I think, yes. That will come through to me. Yeah, so I've just posted a Wikipedia entry to the Wankel engine, and you can see there exactly that shape that we're looking at, which is very interesting. I wonder if there's a particular frequency that this engine likes to run at, and whether that's got anything to do with 432 as well, because you know sometimes you're driving along the road, right? And your car is just singing. Everything feels harmonic, in tune. All the vibrations are well balanced. And it's often just slightly faster than the current speed limit that you're at. Do you have that? Is there any research about that? The frequencies of the sounds of the engine?
Not that I know of. I can maybe ask one of my buddies who's a bit of a machinist, kind of car guy, so I can maybe ask him about it tomorrow. but that's never come up in my research.
Well, you know, I don't know about you, but you know, when I'm driving, I live in the country, so I drive in the country. So actually, I don't drive. I don't have a car anymore. I haven't had a car for a year. But when I do, often. And I've spoken to lots of other people, and it's like a kind of secret that people do, but they drive according to the sound and the feel. Of course, you're going to drive where everything feels right, aren't you? So I'm sure there are harmonic interplays that are going on there. I don't know. It's an interesting seam of research, I'd say, if anybody was interested in doing a research paper on that.
Well, now you got me wondering. I mean, there's definitely something to frequencies and distance as well.
Yes.
I was watching a clip of Ralph Ring talking about having built one of these Tesla spaceships, if you wish, with Otis T. Carr, where essentially it was a round vehicle, a UFO, whatever you want to call it. I think round vehicle should be the preferred term. And they got a laser to go through like a crystal or a set of crystals, and by concentrating on a certain color, they were able to get the ship to vibrate at that frequency, and that ship went about, let's say, like 10 miles down the road, essentially teleporting there, if you wish. Probably, William Stillings would probably agree with that. But there's definitely something to frequencies and distance, as Ralph Ring was mentioning it. So now, I don't know, maybe there's something, if you're going, maybe 45 miles an hour is a good number for cars. That's something I've never come across in my research, and I may ask my buddy tomorrow, but I doubt I'll come up with anything.
it's just the thing, you know. It's just like, and it's probably more to do. I mean, it's more to do with the tachograph. tachometer than the speedometer, because you know we've got the different number of miles and kilometers an hour and all this stuff. And actually, I still can't relate to kilometers an hour. Yeah, I just still can't relate. It's like Fahrenheit. Anyway,
we use kilometers in Canada, so I'm not all right with that.
Yeah. So, we've got to So what we will ask the question of was, how does mind control fit in with this, and how does it connect with well, actually I'd like to just kind of bring up that we know that frequencies, specific frequencies, have effects on specific things, in the same way that a wine glass has a particular resonance, and like the opera singer can find that resonance and sing that resonance and cause the glass to vibrate so much it breaks apart. We know that. That's an old, everybody knows that fact. So if you can find the exact frequency of anything, you can cause it to resonate and vibrate either too much or more than it does at the moment, and you could call that a healing, or you could call it over vibrate it and destroy it, and you could call that a weapon. So everything is just a matter of degree and a matter of resonance. We have all sorts of things that are going on now that need some very specific healings. You know, we have radiation at Fukushima. That's a big problem. We got lots of other things. How do we go with that? Have you had any thoughts about this, Fred? About how to kind of fix some of the things with sound and audio or frequency or vibration?
Well, if it was up to me, if it really was up to me, you know, tomorrow we would instate the A432 hertz as our international standard, and we would go from there. Now this is my opinion, but it's also my own experience, and by that I mean it's a few different things. You know, like I don't currently sing in my reggae band, but whenever I'm alone and I play acoustic guitar by myself, I'll sing to myself, right? And I used to always tune my guitar either at 440 or at a half a step below 440. And since I've discovered the 432 hertz tuning and that I've been tuning my guitar to that, I can sing for hours without having my voice tire out. And that's my own experience with it, you know? Just as much as, I've had my own experience with the solfeggio frequencies. You know, I came across those, like the 528 stuff, I think back in 2006, 2007. And I even saved one of the links to just a pure 528 hertz tone that somebody uploaded on YouTube. I'd saved that in my favorites for years. And every once in a while, you know, if I had a headache or if I, if I just wasn't feeling good for whatever reason, I would try listening to that tone and seeing if it would help. Because I'd end up reading the YouTube comments and people were saying, "Oh, it's helping me. I'm feeling so much better." Pardon me. So I figured I should give it a try, and I did for many years, and it did absolutely nothing to me. And the moment that I listened to these to the 432 hertz octaves, the 144 hertz octaves, and the 256 hertz octaves, those literally had an instant effect on me.
And to the point where I've even tried curing my headaches with those tones, and I can say that from my experience, it really works. So, you know, the number one thing I would tell people is to do your own research and, you know, try it out for yourself, seek it out. And when I say seek it out, like I mentioned earlier in the show, I really recommend for people to look up some artists that do 432 Hertz music. Brian is one of them. Stellar Luna is someone that he worked with, who's out in England, who has a tremendous voice. And I'm going to post some links right now very quickly for those two. And, you know, I really recommend just giving that music a try and seeing for yourself how, like, what kind of effect it has on you and how it makes you feel, how you react to it. But if you need to do the research, the numbers are there. I don't want to say the facts, but I'll say it anyways. The facts are there. You can just look it up and see it for yourself. There's no doubt that the music in 256 hertz or 432 hertz is a more harmonic tuning. And I believe Brian, he wrote at some point that to have perfect 432 hertz music, you probably would need to have a 53 equal tempered scale. And right now our scale is 12 tone equal tempered. And for people who don't know what that is, that's counting every note from the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and all the sharps or flats that are in between. So you have, let's say on the piano, you have from A to G, you have seven white notes, and then you have three black notes. That's a total of 12. So to have perfect 432 hertz music, you probably need to have 53 equal tempered music, and don't believe we have any instruments that are like that. There are some guitars that are built to have like 31 tones, I believe. But in general, most instruments like pianos, guitars, saxophones, and so on, you know, those are all tuned for a 12 tone equal tempered scale.
And so.
So.
Sorry there, Fred. But we're just joined now in the studio with Brian T. Collins himself. Welcome, Brian, to Ever Beyond. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
Very good. Oh, lovely and clear signal. And is that a dry stone wall you're sitting against?
No, actually, That's a fallen standing stone. I've been doing a lot of research over the last quarter century with stones and resonance, and I can assure you there's a direct connection to 432 and most of the ancient sites.
That's another aspect of the things that I'm really interested in is ancient sites, crop circles, which I believe are chymoglyphs. And actually the fundamental connections between the different realms of nature. Let's go back to what you're talking about sacred sites then. And are you talking about the arrangement or the resonance of the pieces of stone themselves?
It's kind of a kind of mixing of both. But however, you have to also realize that because of the changes of the old guard over the last few thousand years, most of the sites, so to speak, have been altered, and that came mostly through the 8th to the 11th century. So most of the standing stone structures were either deliberately cracked by lighting fires on them, or pulled down or slightly altered. But in a lot of the structures, according to where they're actually sitting on the earth, they actually hold these, not just the resonance patterns, but also they're directly related onto a grid point of where they are in relation to Giza, for an example, which at one point used to be the prime meridian. It was actually knocked off a few degrees, making it the standard now, which is Greenwich, which is actually a false meridian. So what it does is that essentially it takes the telluric lines of the Earth and just kind of like almost like taking paddles to someone when they're you know, deep.
Oh dear, we've lost everybody. Fred, are you still there?
I'm actually still here, yeah.
Oh yes, so we've just lost Brian, so let's bring him back in again and see if we can bring him. Come in, Brian, speak to us. I think he's just gone offline, so right, so... So Brian's angle is ancient science. So that's a very well. He's got lots of angles. I love this. This is. I think I would like to have more round tables like this, and we can talk about current events in terms of the sound and these connections.
That would be excellent, and Brian would definitely be a great guest to have because I think he's been doing this research for at least 20 years now, maybe even more. So he's definitely someone that whose noggin you might like to be picking at.
Ah, oh, that's cool. All right, what was happening? Anything? No. Bleep. one weak little bleep there. Oh well. Let's keep going. So I was envisaging it. Oh, there is. All right, okay, we'll bring him in. Brian, hello. You got totally dropped there.
That's not surprising. Yeah, it usually happens to me on interviews.
Does it? Interesting. Yeah. Oh, keep talking.
Especially if I start talking about stuff that not a lot of people know about.
Ah, interesting. See, ancient business is really like top secret because it's got so much truth in it that people aren't able to relate to their current everyday lives.
Well, it's interesting you mention that because think of it this way. Let's use the analogy that you're on a boat on the ocean and you need to know how to navigate. Well, that would be second nature to the ancients because of they know the cyclic systems of the spiral orbits of the planets and also you know which stars to navigate to. Okay, look at today in contemporary times. Nobody even actually experiences the moon to observe it long enough to see that it's going usually in the opposite direction of the sun. I take that and put us all in a boat and then take the rudder away. Now that's what I consider what we are facing in modern times. People are so looking for answers because they're thriving to get an answer to something that's already in their DNA. It used to be that the classical sciences, for an example, was something that was taught to children. But yet most university graduates are compartmentalized into academia that comes from the materialistic worldview. So you have to fight yourself through an entire whole dogma of scientism, of the material nihilist worldview before you can actually even get into seeing what the ancient technologies were, why it's so important in terms of resonation, and why frequency, if you change frequency, you actually change the perception of awareness of dimension.
Ah, there we go. Now, many people might not have caught that, but that last sentence, if you change frequency, you can change the perception of dimension. See, I was listening.
Absolutely.
And when that happens, you are looking into a different universe. I've been watching Fringe. I'm having Fringe-a-thons. And that's what it's all about. He creates a field that is resonating at a particular frequency, and he tunes himself out of one universe and into another.
Well, let me put it this way. Let's take the analogy of a dog. Okay, well, look at a dog whistle. Okay, our hearing range is, you know, from somewhere between 12 to 17 hertz up to around 20,000 hertz. But a dog can hear higher than that. So when we blow a dog whistle, we can't hear it, but then a dog responds. Look at then, therefore, take a bee. Take a bee that we look at a plant, we see a pattern on a plant. A bee sees it completely different according to the infrared spectrum that it sees through. So nature is actually giving off other blueprints on different dimensional aspects of perceptive awareness that we're not aware because of the frequencies that we choose to have, not only just for music, but also the inherent frequencies that we use in terms of language. So language is one of the greatest boxings of consciousness. The English language, most of it was created during the Pontifex days of the colleges of abbreviation. So language, for an example, is it too has its confines. It's not just a frequency thing where you're dealing with music, but also the frequencies of the intonation of the rhythms are very, very essential. And this is why today, one of the greatest campaigns to get music back to 432 is not just have it at 432, but also the way that it's actually, the intervals are tuned. Because right now what you have is a sense of where back in the days of Pythagoras, they knew that there was a problem inherent that in nature there's a wobble, but that wobble is due to the precession of the equinox. But when the classic Enlightenment schools, which gave birth into the nihilism problems that we've had today, where the complete dumbing down, everyone thinks this is all some grand conspiracy. Guess what? It's not. It is not a conspiracy. What it is, it's a mistake in worldview thinking. It's nihilism. It's it came through the stuff like Friedrich Nietzsche saying that God was dead. So therefore, because there was no more connection to using science that was able to experience things through observation of nature, you had a thing called a priori scientism, which is you get to experience it by repeating the experiment by reading it in the textbook. Hence, you've got an entire academic world that you can only make a discovery unless you quote something and reference something. And this is something I've now been fighting for a quarter of a century with the research that I've been doing that's gone way beyond what would be termed as scientific proof, where there is an absolute intimate connection to nature using sound resonance. And when you actually unlock those doors, it's not that you're actually hallucinating or changing your consciousness into some kind of altered state. What you're doing is you're actually unlocking the origin ratio of the key of the universe. And when that happens, let me assure you, there is an intelligent designer to this universe, and that's when contact starts. And 432 has a very, very key, crucial role in that, not just in music, but also in science.
Wow. So it's very much like, I always use the analogy that you have FM and AM radios, you know, and if you've never had an FM radio, and you've only ever had an AM radio, you have no idea that FM even exists, or even that This is taking everybody back. The quality was a lot better on an FM radio than it was on an AM radio. And but there are other trade-offs, you know. You could FM was very directional, but AM you could get anywhere and all that stuff.
Yeah, because one was amplitude versus frequency.
Yeah, and so within these different wave bands, this is one way we could describe or analogize dimensions. So you're talking about the bee. The bee sees in low frequencies in light, so the infrared frequencies. And we appear to see in colors, so we see appear to express. There may be creatures who have four cones instead of three. Maybe they can see in ultraviolet. Maybe there's a whole rainbow in ultraviolet. Maybe there's a rainbow in infrared. Maybe it just goes on forever. Is there any research on that, Brian?
Well, the ultimate question to that is going to be the exact moment you expire out of the body and find out whether or not there's an afterlife or it's just absolutely nothing, and then that's your big chance to get away from it all. Right? But until that happens, you're not going to know for sure. But I do know this. Everything that we experience is being processed deep within our cortex. Between that processing time, it's an exact science that at the in frequency that you're able to process light, sensation, everything at so many kilohertz ratings in terms of the refresh. And I don't think I'm going to get into that saying this live over the air what the rates are, because it's not for a fear reason, it's for a responsibility reason, because I do believe that many of the people, when they learn these kind of things, they go out and experiment, and unless you are under controlled conditions, you don't want to be screwing around with binaural beats and trying to get into this kind of stuff, because you can actually do some serious damage to your mind. But however, everything has an exact refresh rate, and that refresh rate has a latency, just like a computer, where if you use too much RAM, the computer starts slowing down. So as a result, the actual universe we can never experience, because we're actually processing it deep within our cortex. Even though we think that we can see your hand by looking at it, that all that sensation and seeing across a room or touching a computer is still all being processed deep within the cortex. And there's a slight latency delay between the actual world and then reality, which is what we see. We see reality, but reality is a complete illusion. It's bent light. It's light that's fading down. It's bending around things. And as a result of that, here's a kind of a weird concept to get around, but once you do, you get over an amazing hump. Everything you're experiencing right now in reality is in the past. And this is why people with telepathy, psychic abilities, clear audio, clairvoyance, they're actually able to tap the actual existence, which is just a few particles or a few bits ahead of us of that latency. And this is where precognition comes in. All these kind of natural abilities that science, according to the materialistic nihilist worldview, will absolutely smash and defend to the death that kind of stuff does not exist and it's all imaginary in the mind. That's what you're fighting in terms of calibrations on scientific instruments, for an example. Being able to measure. I've been talking with many scientists over the years trying to find a way of being able to caliper a new system of measurement rather than some of the Euclidean geometries and vector and scalar mathematics and quaternions that's out there, just for the simple fact that we can't actually have any scientific proof of any type of phenomenon of multidimensionality because we don't have the right caliper available to create the scientific tools and how to measure it in the first place. So there is the ever infinite divide between the scientific material academic worldview, which requires reference of proof. I get this constantly. That's why I don't put too much on my website. Because where's the proof that 432, for an example, is better than some other frequency? Well, it has actually to do with going back into your past, into the ancestry, where Hertz is a recent invented thing. However, your vocal range and the plate of your head and your station tubes in the skull are natural, and they do resonate, just like the earth, sorry, the ear does with the inner ear, which is C-cell shaped. So again, you've got all this Fibonacci mathematics that's going on, which are dampening effects of dimension. Now, that's important because if you didn't have that ability for phi to occur, then all dimension would run into and bleed into one another, just kind of like a watercolor, and you go mad. So everyone puts their faith in the Fibonacci series, but all the Fibonacci series is in the universe is it's the universe's fuse box, so the whole lot doesn't go up. It dampens. It's a radiative field. There's another tonal spiral because there's two tonal spirals of creation in and out. That's slightly different, and it's also been known as the Christic spiral. I don't know if you've heard of that. Have you?
Vaguely, but expand.
Well, sorry, Fred. Have you heard of that?
I've heard very little bit, actually. Chris Honeyfield, a friend of mine on Facebook, has mentioned it to me. Maybe a few weeks, maybe a month ago or so. But I haven't looked into it more than that. Sorry.
It's slightly like the Fibonacci spiral, but it's just slightly different in terms of its angular momentum. But you can't really, because of our problem that we're actually processing everything deep within our cortex, everything, therefore, in this universe that we have is one-sided. You can only measure the one side of it, so you can only actually measure the Fibonacci side of it, because something is bleeding into this dimension from somewhere else. We're only aware of that bleed coming in the way, that growth coming at us. We're not aware of the other one. But one thing about music, now Constance Denby, she agrees with me, and she's a world-renowned musician. She agrees with me that sound is pre-atomic. And it's fascinating because there's only a few mediums that you can actually find both of this Christic and Fibonacci together. And one is music, and the other is water. The water is very interesting. I'll talk to that about that in a sec. But how you find it in music is the Fibonacci series is known as the overtone series, and the Christic is known as the undertone series. And on certain types of harmonic and melodic scales, you can get an intertwining of those two. Now, Rudolf Steiner talked in great deal about the pre-sounds of the Atlantean epoch and post. They actually, if they were to hear our music today, they actually wouldn't be able to hear it, just like we can't hear the dog whistle. The same goes as this, is like I said before, is when you change frequency, you change the perception of dimension. So
most of us are not capable any longer of being able to actually tune into those ancient frequencies because of the frequency variances that's been going on today. However, when you get into 432, it's kind of like the universal keymaster that kind of opens and unlocks, you know, the doorways of perception for you to actually kind of bring in this ancient knowledge. And it's really fascinating. So I don't want to hog the entire call.
Oh, no, it's fascinating. Fascinating stuff.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. If I just want to get some water because that was a big, long speech. But water is extremely important because water is something I've also, with some friends in Toronto, we got one of them on tonight, Max, a mutual friend, Gino. When I told him about 432 several years ago, he's in the water business. So I was looking for someone that was in the water business. I approached this other gentleman, Bud, who was selling water. Anyway, he was too busy. But Gino got interested in it, and I did extensive research with frequency and water, and we were able to actually create different types of water with charged frequency that could do all kinds of amazing properties, including bring on almost kind of like psychic phenomena to improve memory. So the thing about water is, like I mentioned about sound having those two spirals in them, you have the two functions in water also, not only as a memory catalyst, but also as a transmission of consciousness. When you look at water in its natural state, say you look at the ocean, you notice two different types of wave variants going on. One, you've got a transverse, which is going back and forth, and you've got a longitudinal, right? So you've got one that's going up and down, one that's going back and forth. Now, what's important about that is there's a function to frequency that everybody knows about vibration. But one of the most important things that everybody keeps not talking about or missing is oscillation. Oscillation is more important than vibration. And it's kind of like a sliding scale. So if you have a higher frequency, you have a lower oscillation rate. What oscillation means is to and fro. So you think of a pendulum swing going from one side to the other. That would be classified as oscillation. So if you have a lower vibration, you have a higher or fatter oscillation. And one thing about this universe, it's a universe of the law of attraction, free will, and action. You must take action in this universe to get things done. So if you have a lower frequency, you have a fatter oscillation. A higher frequency, a thinner or smaller oscillation. And this is one of the whole things that's been going on with this raising of concert pitch, is what that actually does is it sets your the spin rate in your body, the oscillation on such a thin rate that basically all this false light new age stuff where that they're claiming to want ascension listening to these higher frequencies, well, it's kind of a half-truth. Because what's actually happening is it's actually pushing your consciousness just slightly out of your body so that you're not centered. And as a result, I mean, in that state, you're very, very easily open to suggestion. Whereas lowering your vibration raises your oscillation and gets you more in a grounded, pragmatic way of thinking. Now, how can I prove that? Okay, well, let's take meditation. Gurus have been saying for, you know, thousands of years, breathe. It's good for you.
right? So if you're breathing and you're doing slow breathing, you're lowering your heart rate. What's happening there? You're lowering your vibration, which allows your oscillation of consciousness to expand. And that's what we're looking for, folks. That's why we're using 432.
Ta-da!
That's really awesome. Another good example, if I may, I'll borrow this one from Jason Verbelli.
Okay, guys, we got 1 minute. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'll let you take it up. Sorry. Thank you very much for having me in here. It was awesome.
Fred, lovely to have you on again. Brian, lovely to meet you and to have you on. And I got your Skype now. If it would be good with you, I'd love to have you on. You sound like you have a wealth of information for our listeners and for those who download the archives. And thank you very much for calling in.
Well, thank you, I really want to thank Fred because he is so gracious to allow me to come on and meet you guys, and it's just. I'm really proud of what he's doing for 432, and his music's awesome, you know. So, thank you so much, guys.
Awesome all round.
Thank you, Brian.
Fred, do you have a website? No, you don't, do you? All right.
I'll post my Reverb Nation on the Skype. On the chat, in the chat room there.
Good idea.
And the people can listen to my music there, and they can decide later if they want to buy it or not.
So, we'll have you back. We'll have Brian back. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much, Cillian. Brian?
Is it okay if I could just quickly mention my website?
Very quickly, yes, go on.
Yeah, it's omega432.com.
Omega432.com. Thank you very much. Excellent. So, thanks very much, guys. I've got to drop the call, and good night, everybody.